Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. I have my good friend Josh Grant with me. So he had hit me up just as the commotion has taken place with the new Kanye album and everything that's been taking place. And he's like, bro, we got to talk about this, not only about the album, but also the interviews that have been taking place, especially being from Zane Lowe from Beats One, Apple Music. He had done a fantastic job interviewing Kanye for about 2 hours. So this whole podcast, these next 60 minutes, we're going to chop it up, not only about the album, but we're also going to touch on the interview, strictly because there's so much in there that will give insight as to what God is doing in Kanye's life, what is happening, and our hope also as fellow disciples in Christ is not to condemn or to speak badly about anything or look at someone's past, but simply see and look for the fruit of what God is doing to attest to whether or not somebody is actually born again. And the scripture so clearly shows that we are able to know if someone truly is born again based on their fruit. So with all that said, thank you, Josh, for joining me this morning.
What's up, guys? Excited to do this. Praise God. And I also felt like a lot of people wouldn't want to take the time to watch or listen to a 2 hour interview with Kanye.
It is long. Yeah, it is long.
And so I'm hoping that we can kind of like condense it down and give a lot of the good nuggets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we jump into the interview, mind you guys, I will put the link to the interview in the bio or in the description of this episode. So if you are interested in checking that out, it truly is a great interview and I would highly encourage for you to check it out just for your own sake so you can get an idea. So I guess this would be a great promo for it, and not in hope to promo it, but just in hope to shed light on what's going on. So I will have that link at the bottom. But before we jump into that, Jesus is King, how has that project impacted you, bro? Because I have to say I've listened to it probably 15, 20 times already. And as a producer and as a musician and artist, there's so much in there that I just want to remix and steal and chop up and do beat videos and do this. Like every song, there's so much room for drums. And as a drummer, for me, it's so fun to hear that. So I also wonder whether or not he did that so that people could remix it. I'm wondering. But aside my view on it as an artist, how as a listener and as someone who loves music, what are your thoughts on the album, bro?
And that's, for me, when I listen to music, that's what's totally different is that I don't really listen to it totally from the mind of an artist. I listen to it more from the mind of like a manager or a A&R or a music industry person.
Yep.
And so for Christian circles, I mean, when I saw the track list, I already was like, this is bolding very well that like he truly is going to be a changed person that he says he is.
Amen.
And then a highlight also that a lot of people might not know, and he talked about a little bit in the interview, is the reuniting with Clip, which is a duo of Push and No Malice. No Malice also has recently given his life over the last few years
Praise God.
The Lord as well, which has caused the split of this hip-hop duo, production duo, that a lot of people really liked, but No Malice wasn't going to be making that type of music anymore. So Kanye was able to reunite the three of them together because they originally had worked together on Kanye's like debut.
Right on.
And so that's kind of like a big deal that, again, he's already like uniting people together. The highlight track to me is On God.
Cool.
I really like that, even though there's definitely influences of younger Kanye that I like a lot.
Yeah.
With the sound on that one. What else? I love that they feature, he got Kenny G to feature on a track.
Yeah, I'm a lot of people. What?
Some of the new people might not know, like, who's Kenny G? Like, I didn't hear any voice in there. K Kenny G is the clarinet player in that track.
Is that what he played? It was the saxophone, yeah. I think.
Yeah, saxophone-ish clarinet kind of thing. And so that was really crazy that there was this really long... and no, it really is not.
That's actually it's on the Use This Gospel. The saxophone is on the Use This Gospel project.
The what?
The track Use This Gospel. That
yes,
I do.
Gospel,
I do remember that one. Yeah, I really just enjoy the whole project as a whole. Man, it has very much so like the taste of previous Kanye as well and his production style. Mm-hmm, but just to be able to hear the truth about who Christ is and just be able to hear biblical truth, it's just refreshing, man. So
unashamed unapologetic Christian, and we've had so many Christian artists wanting to be relevant. Kanye's like, I'm relevant, I want to be Christian.
That's beautiful.
It's crazy.
And for me, someone who writes music and tries to rap and tries to sing, It almost gave me more of an incentive. Not an incentive, that's the wrong word. It motivated me more to be that much more bold for Christ. And to see like, hey, Kanye's not doing this to sell. He's doing this to share the gospel. And I think that's something as musicians and artists, we need to understand is your job is not to sell out. Your job is not to be on billboards. Your job is to proclaim the kingdom and give glory to God. And in whichever way, shape, or form he blesses your artistry, you just go with it. You just, all right, God, however you want this. Not that your goals trump what God has intended for your life. You may have an idea of, hey, I hope to do this. I hope to do this. But ultimately, if we're submitted to God, it should be his plan over whatever we think we want to do, because he obviously knows better. And actually, I talked about that with Mark Barlow on the episode prior to this one. So if you guys are interested just to kind of hear, if you haven't heard the previous one, hear about what God wants from us and what it looks like to submit to God's leadership with an artistry over your own dreams, over your own things that you aspire to do, and just strictly rely on him to provide these things and him to push you into these avenues. Mark has an awesome perspective on that as well. But jumping in, let's hop into this
Mike interview. Mike Barlow, Isla Vista.
What
so
did I say?
Some people might not know.
Oh, Isla Vista.
No,
yeah,
you,
oh, for
you,
sure.
Yeah, you just didn't
no
mention that it was Isla Vista.
Without a
yeah
doubt. Without a
some
doubt.
Some people might know the name Isla Vista more.
You're absolutely right. Cool. So if you head to YouTube, there is the two-hour interview, as we mentioned before, on Beats One with Zane Lowe. They actually did it in Kanye's house.
Ranch in Montana.
Yeah, that looked wild, bro.
I need
me one of those.
Right?
Oh, Lord's timing. Cool. So
he's probably getting snow today too, since you said you woke up
to
snow.
That's no doubt. I let my dog out. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's supposed to rain, and I'm like, it's white outside. Whatever. It's cool. It's part of living out here. So Josh, for you guys listening, Josh is crazy enough to take notes when he listens to an interview. He's like, bro, we got to do this. Here's notes I took. And literally minute by minute, he's like, hey, bro, this is what was said. And so we're actually going off a rough sketch off of what Josh was inspired to take note on. And I very much so remember almost every single part that he had taken notes on, because this is such a big deal as to what was talked about. I think if we start with this, this will help also ease into everything that Kanye's been through in the last however many years he's been pursuing this. And he's very much so aware of what's taking place in social media, what's taking place in society, in America, politics, how societal norms or culture is being so influential on the people that people tend to not even think on their own. They just kind of blindly follow. And he mentioned something about there being a control over our minds, over the food, over health, over family. And these are all ideas that obviously can have different perspectives on. However, we are at a point right now, especially in America, where there I believe, you don't have to agree with me, bro, but I believe there is a propaganda being pushed very much so against certain political ideas, definitely against theology, definitely against Christian values. The way we push food is also crazy, you know, money over health type of deal. And then with health, it's not, let's be proactive, let's react to a problem. So like, let's just keep going until something goes bad and then we react to it. And family really being broken, like there's no true example of what a family is if you don't look at scripture, right? Because without scripture, then what is the right family? What is the ideal example of a good family, right? So just looking at that aspect, I see how much him being exposed to such a high level of influence, having to take a step back and see, hey, since I see all this stuff going on, how do I remain in this society? How do I remain as such a big name, such a big, I suppose, influence, but not be totally affected by all of those things so that I'm not just another slave to the culture?
And what's really interesting is that because of who he is, he's had open doors into different areas that most people wouldn't have. And so he said that, you know, huge companies like Tesla and, you know, Amazon, and with all of these different players that he's been able to kind of like brush shoulders with.
For sure.
And he said, these people are building these $1 trillion companies for their own self.
Mm.
And he's like, I want to build for God and I'm in service for God.
Amen.
And I think he's going to really start spending his money differently.
It's good.
And
you know what's so cool about it is, like, as believers in Christ, we're called to set the example for the world. That is our responsibility. You know, like, we bring the truth to the world. We bring what it means to have a level of excellence. What does honest business mean? You know, what does it mean to be wise financially?
That's so funny you talk about that, because then I even found a video that he did on Jimmy Kimmel just recently. And someone that happened to be on that same episode of Jimmy Kimmel was someone who just won the lottery. And it was a black man. He won lottery of like over like almost $300 million.
Wow.
And Kanye takes the time to like point out to the guy, and the camera turns to him and he's like, hey, that, like, that's cool and everything like that. But he was just like, we as black men, we've had a lack of fathers in our life, and we haven't had wise counsel in teaching us how to spend our money.
That's good.
And so he was basically like reaching out to the guy and saying, you know, like, hey, I'm here to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have been influenced by politics, by culture, to not be a wise spender.
Right.
Not to invest.
Because the guy was wearing a super, like, I'm sure it was really expensive, Gucci jacket on.
Oh,
and Kanye's like, yeah, you know, I see the Gucci jacket. And it was right into that. Like, society was dictating this person who just won a bunch of money to just basically put that money back into the system. And Kanye's like, you know, I buy land now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
He's like, I bought thousands of acres in Montana. And so he still, like, took a moment to, like, talk about society and culture and how the top kind of like pushes down its influences upon people.
That's good. And you know, when your eyes are opened, when you have a revelation of who Christ is and you give your life to Christ and God reveals to you all the error in the world, you cannot remain in sin as a born again believer. You can't, like, that. If you are living and being led by the Spirit, you can't sin. Can you be in the flesh? You can choose to be in the flesh. It's still a choice. You don't, like, become a robot now, like, oh, I'm just holy and I can't do anything bad. You choose to live holy. You choose to pursue righteousness. You choose to do these things. And with that, you can't help yourself but share the truth, share wise counsel, share encouragement and things like that to people who obviously, well, I can't say obviously, but who possibly don't have it. That's why we're called to share the gospel with anyone and everyone. You know, just because you don't know who might need it. So I'm really encouraged to hear that's what took place. I saw the Jimmy Kimmel thing on YouTube, but I didn't watch it. So there's a bunch of stuff going on right now. There's so much buzz. So we're just hopping on just to hopefully add some more clarity to some things that have been said. There's one thing that was mentioned over near about 15 minutes into the interview. It said, most important thing is to keep families close, but cities were not designed that way.
Yeah. Right?
Let's kind of touch on that a little bit, because then he later mentioned about the church should be at the center, right?
Yeah.
So you want to shed some light on...
He said the city should be designed from like the church at the center, and then have the right order. The church, and then the businesses, and then the residential, or was it the residential and then the industries?
It was. I do recall him talking
about
how
was it?
Everyone's just leaving their home to go straight to work, right?
Right.
And they designed cities to pull you away from home.
Right. Exactly. So I think I think it should be church,
homes,
and then the city, because people have to drive too far into the city. And then all the billboards and everything keep you away from your family and
absolutely.
To keep, you know, I thought that was really crazy how he's already like noticing those things. And that's even something that I feel that churches like right now should be cultural hubs for the city. Like every church should be hosting their own events. So if you have, which I'm sure many churches have, someone in the construction industry, a general contractor or something like that, rallying around this individual from the church body that is being poured into by a pastor or by leadership, and help him host a, builders, construction people, conference or a talk or morning brunch or something like that at the church, and let the church be the center that is beginning to influence, you know, ethical behavior. Contract negotiation and all of these things for the businesses, but from the context of the church pouring into the community. And there's so many different other industries that the church could do that, because the churches have the facility to be able to do those things instead of renting a room at a hotel and not doing it in partnership with the church.
And so two things I want to clarify within that, which I do think we're in agreement on. Church obviously being the people, but there being also an aspect of us having the ability, still having the ability to own or suppose manage a property and or land or building, whatever, to glorify God with it. But not necessarily call that the, this is God's house. Like God, we're the temple of Christ. We are the living stones, you know, so we make up this beautiful breathing organism that God utilizes. So within, you know, the church, if it were to be everything built around the church, people understanding that, hey, none of this matters without people, you know, and something, and this is strange, I don't think I'd ever say this, but something we could learn, I'd say, for the Mormon community. And I only say that because I lived in Arizona for a year, and then I lived in Mesa, Arizona, and it is as Mormon as can be out there, man.
Really?
Mesa, Arizona and Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, are two Mormon hubs, bro. And so this high school I went to literally had a class for the Mormons. They were able to leave campus, go to their temple. Like, it was nuts, bro. And so I got to learn a lot about what they think and what they believe in. In no way, shape, or form do I agree with their theology. However,
the way
they go about business, the way they support each other is amazing. And if you are part of their belief system, you say, all right, we're going to rally together and help each other grow. And Christians should be doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have somebody within your circle or some other circle in whichever way, shape, or form, and that's why I encourage you guys, especially on this podcast, is if you see another artist, if you see a videographer, if you see a musician, producer, anyone doing whatever, and you know you can be of service to them, serve them, or somehow work together, hit them up. Just hit, like, what do you got to lose?
And offer them words of encouragement. Yeah,
that's it. And maybe just start with that.
Strengthen the body.
Start with that, you know, and say, hey, how could I be praying for you in whatever way? And when we take advantage of everything God's been doing in people's lives to also help you get farther in what God's put on your heart, you're literally, instead of going to the world for help, you're strictly just keep coming back to the body, and this being this beautiful recycling of income, business ideas, you know, wisdom that people have that you maybe have never had access to, you haven't met people before. And so I do like this idea of the body of Christ being the hub that helps push so much out into the world, because for us to do big, big things, we need a lot of people.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow. Awesome. He had this really cool idea It's not, I guess it's pretty true. The difference between a founder and a stockholder. And I thought that was super, super dope. Do you remember roughly what he said? I do remember what it was, but I just want to see if you got anything that touched you when you heard that.
Yeah, a founder like goes, creates jobs, creates wealth, creates income, and a stockholder basically is feeding the system.
Maintain, yeah.
You know, and just with it's funny, I've had a little bit different view on capitalism now. Some of that stuff is really coming to my mind as far as even like the education system and what it teaches and what it's been trying to breed for many years. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it's almost like I'm leaving the matrix and I'm seeing the real world. And there's a lot of people that haven't seen
stepping out the box.
True intentions. I've taken the pill and there's no going back, you know, when it comes to that. And so that's not to say that I don't believe in owning stock, but it's being something that creates wealth and that creates jobs. Like I'm really, you know, I have a company with my boy Cap and my boy Jake, and we've been able to hire even people from the United States and people from Brazil, like creatives, designers, and stuff like that. And so we created something in just 2 short years that we're already being able to create jobs for other people, and like to be able to do that at an even greater scale. And I think Kanye touched on that a lot as well. He talks about wanting to bring industrial factories back to America.
Amen. Yep.
So.
Definitely. Yeah. And
what did you catch from that?
What I was really touched on with that is stockholders will do everything they can to continue the growth, right? But the founder has the vision. The founder has the core, the root, the why. Without him, they wouldn't have anything to have a stock of. And so he gave an example of someone they tried to get rid of because he wasn't lining up with their ideas. So they got rid of the founder, and then it all started going south because they'd lost the why, they lost the true purpose of it, you know? And taking this to a spiritual aspect, you know, when we are able to let God use us as, say, Christian innovators, because that is such a thing, I suppose there are few people who I suppose see themselves as Christian innovators, because that's not, I suppose, a term that people use, right? But we are also called to innovate things and create things and come up with stuff that's never been come up with before. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God within us. I mean, we have the very fuel, the very power that it raised Christ from the dead, has done miraculous things in people's lives. That, man, if God can heal the sick through that power, the Holy Spirit and the beauty of all that, can you imagine what can take place in your mind? If we're able to receive prophecies of what will come in the future, you don't think God can give you an idea for a business plan? You know what I'm saying? Like, God has made certain people to be entrepreneurs. He has made certain people to be good servants and work within those areas. You know, it's like having to understand where you stand within the midst of this and as a also business owner myself, being able to run a construction company, and now I have an apprentice in this season, and it's nice. Awesome. It's awesome to be able to teach someone and get them to a level where I hope they can do this and then do this again for someone else and just keep doing mm-hmm. that over and over. And what's also beautiful
is, I mean, that's how it was back in the olden days.
Straight up. Exactly. I mean, that's how I learned. I was an apprentice.
The school was much shorter mm-hmm. and it just taught you basically how to read and write, but everything else you learn through apprenticeship.
You go to work. Yeah. And whether it be with family, whatever. So I do like looking at, hey, there's such a thing as being a founder. There's such a thing as being a stockholder. Maybe God's blessed you to have money. Now you got to be a wise steward of that money, right? Mm-hmm. And just having to understand the concept within all these things so that God could be glorified with the things that you have and could be a good steward of it. Jumping farther, kind of mentioned, this is right around the half hour mark. It's like, I thought I was the God of culture, but really culture was my God. I thought that was huge, man.
When he said that, I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, he said, America has no culture. This is something, and I'm not sure if I got this from another interview, but he was saying how America just like, since we are such a melting pot, since there's so many different people here, so many right. different ideas, we don't have like a standard culture. Like, this is American. Like mm-hmm. everything's from everywhere. So you can't say like, oh, I'm a true American. Like you, when you become a, say, patriotic for America, you're patriotic for the, or you're supportive for the ideas here, for the freedom here, for the people to have mm-hmm. the ability to do things here, right? You're not like, oh, I'm American because this is the culture we have. Like, the culture keeps changing. The culture is influenced by media, by people who mm-hmm. are creating culture. So culture is almost being created through media in this country. And that being Satan. Yeah. And for him yeah. to think he was the God so of culture, so. How deceived somebody can yeah. be, right? To think that they're the ones actually doing it when they're a slave to Satan anyway. So how even within a servant, being a servant to the devil, you know, the devil also keeps you in bondage of a certain idea, thinking that you're the one doing it when in reality, you're just submitted to him.
Yeah, that was something that Kanye really had the realization of, that who he was actually serving. He even says, if you're not serving God, you're serving someone else. You're serving everyone else.
Mm, that's right.
And social media makes him suffer. Yeah. So he touched on so many things that we've heard within the church, and but having to hear it coming from the perspective that he has come from is always what's so shocking. Who was it that said, I just recently saw somebody on Instagram mm-hmm. said their mom sent them a text, my son is in church today because of the Kanye West album.
Crazy, huh?
You know?
Crazy.
Because people are like, well, if Kanye thinks church is cool, then I guess I need to check it out.
Why not? Right? Why not? Yeah. If he went from rapping about girls and drugs and, you know, the regular thing the world promotes, and something that's so easily consumable for, let's say, millennials or younger people as well, mm-hmm. it's like, it's just revolutionary. Because so many have been raised, and I just ran into a family recently that literally said this, and I was so blown away. The mom was raised Catholic. The dad was raised Muslim. Okay. They both came to America as immigrants, were influenced by American culture, mm-hmm. quote unquote. And both of them were not, how to say, sure in their faith to start. So when they have two boys, when they had children, they said, you know what? It's better off that we don't push either of our faiths on them, because it hasn't worked for us, so we'll let them figure it out on their own. And I was just like, whoa, are you serious? Yeah. Then you don't believe what you believe then. If you truly believe what you believe, you would know that your child will be better off. But as yeah. we know, believers in Christ, unless it's Jesus, it's all going to fail anyway. So I understand why, you know, that failed, but it's just crazy, man. Like people have for many years now been failed by the system of religion, because it is religion.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's all religion. And since they've been failed by it or burned by it or hurt by it in whichever way, they don't bother to teach it to their kid.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that is a good thing in some way, shape, or form. Because if you, let's say, have been raised a Catholic all your life, and then you come to the revelation of who Christ is, and you start reading the Word when you haven't read the Word for 20 years, because that's not what you're told to do in the Catholic Church, then you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much that I know that is wrong. Now you have to unlearn 20 years of bad theology.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sucks.
I've been saying this thing about religious repetition and versus, my mind is so cloudy this morning.
Come back.
I'm not used to having to use my brain.
Clarity.
but he even talks about, Kanye talks about his daughter North and how she's growing up in this circle of these Sunday services that they're doing and what her perception of church is. And he was talking to the masses of what even his perception of church was, and how that a lot of people have a perception of church of being stuck in a pew and being very like boring and stuff like that. And his daughter isn't growing up in a church setting like that, and that she absolutely loves it and desires more of it and wants to make sure that she's able to go to it in every week. And so,
like yearning to be there, right?
Yeah. And so much of it, because I don't think it's a religious repetition to her. It's a lifestyle.
And it's authentic. Yeah.
It's an authentic lifestyle. And I think that's really a word that churches need to embrace more, because we push a one day a week event that we want people to come to us, which again plays to religious repetition and doesn't emphasize lifestyle. Like, I mean, you go through thinking all of the stuff that we do, it's all about programs and it's all about a large of weekly event that me as a youth pastor for 6 years, I heard it consistently from kids in my youth that would say, oh, I'm so sorry, Josh, that I didn't make it to church on Sunday. And I would say, you know what? I don't care if you come to church or not. I go, the only reason why I push to you to come to church on Sunday is because I think that if you don't come to church, you don't ever open your Bible. So I was trying to kill the idea of like that he's going to be good just because he came to church.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's the start to get you on the right track. But it's not about a religious repetition of you thinking you're good just because you came to church on Sunday. It's what you do throughout the rest of the week. And then I go to the analogy of church should be an energy drink or a protein bar to your life. Not, you know, because if you don't eat anything all week and then you just get one energy bar or an energy drink, like it's barely going to have any effect on you.
Straight up. Yep.
But if you're eating healthy all week long and then you get, and then you're going to run a marathon and you're given a protein bar or something like that, you're going to have,
you are actually running a marathon. And so exactly. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's good, man. Absolutely.
So that protein bar, actually the church actually becomes that thing that gives you extra sustainability to carry on and move on with your life. And so,
and this also comes back to parents. Your job is to prepare your children to know the truth, to be firmly rooted in God, to understand what the truth is, to understand how to share the gospel, to understand how to do all these things. When parents don't know how to, and this comes back to leadership, are you discipling people to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ? Do people know how to pray for people, intercede, what it is to share the gospel? What is the gospel? Have you baptized Do you know what baptism is? Do you encourage that? Do you understand Holy Spirit? Do you understand casting out demons? Do you understand, you know, feeding those who can't who can't feed themselves? Like understanding the basics of Christianity. Because if people aren't taught that, then how can they teach their kids? And then they say, you know what? I'm gonna just throw my kid into church.
Daycare?
Kids church. Preschool. Whatever. Yeah. Kids church.
Sunday school.
Sunday. There you go. Wow. I couldn't believe I forgot that. that's how long I've been out of the traditional style church. I'll throw them in there because that's their job. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's good though, bro. It's good. And I think this is something that God is just continuing to breathe life into and just revealing to the body of Christ as a whole. And I mean, I see this in synchronicity all over the world now where, you know, we're coming to understand that this is not just Sunday service. This is not just, hey, let's get together and be with God for one day. Like, hey, let's get together so we can be in community, because Christianity without community isn't Christianity.
Okay, I love that you bring that up, because here's a super passion point. And anyone else that's listening to this right now, please give us comments on this. But I just feel that in this modern age that we're in, it is not the best use of our time and is not the most efficient use of our time for us to join together as believers to sit in a room with multiple believers and to sit in silence and listen to one person talk and share their interpretation of what God is speaking to them. That message of the pastor speaking to an entire room that sits in silence can, and I believe should be delivered through podcasts or through YouTube. Hmm. And then let's use Sunday service to be a celebration and let's be into the community. So for me, for example, here in South Florida is I would like Sunday to be the whole church goes to the beach and let the world see a large group of people show up together at the beach and be like, what's that?
Word.
You know, and then they're
instead
like,
oh, like hide away in one building.
Yeah, we're tucked away in a building. And then we check it off our list. Come on, people. I know you're guilty of it. You've checked it off your list. I've done my Christian deed for the day on Sunday. I went to church. Then you go back home and you kick it. You sit on the couch, you watch football, you know, and I think we're missing it because, again, we grew up in a Christian nation where businesses were closed on Sunday and the cultural norm was because there was no other means of communication. Even before radio, we've been conditioned to this religious repetition that Sunday we go to church.
Yeah.
So because there was like the pastor wasn't going to deliver the message through television or through the phone or any other way. So it was like, okay, like that makes sense. Let's go together and let's listen to the pastor speak. Now, mind you, on the record, I'm not saying that we should not gather together as believers. That is totally important. I just think that for us to call it community and fellowship when we're sitting in a large room for 45 minutes in silence, not talking to each other, not sharing each other's stories, I think that time could be used of actually sharing those stories in the time that the pastor is delivering an important message. That's fine. We just don't need to come. We don't need to drive somewhere to listen to the pastor speak a one directional message to us. That one directional message can be delivered to us through modern communication.
That's really interesting. Yeah, for sure.
Podcast. I mean, I binge listen to I travel the United States on a weekly basis with the amount of podcast sermons that I listen to from multiple pastors all across the country.
And you're not how to say stifled by one person's
not at all
understanding, you know. So that is good, bro. That's a cool idea, man.
And then I'm in community and fellowship. We have a thing that we started called Soundwave Community down here, where we're not actually connected to any one church. We've kind of started it through social media, and we gather together, and it's not like a sit down Bible teaching, because I'm like, we don't need to do a whole Bible teaching, because hey, pull out a podcast. Like, I'll text you right now multiple different sermons for you to listen to. But we're doing something an activation of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, because there's so many Christians, me being one of them, that have grown up in the church and had the Holy Spirit living inside of me, but I never spoke to him and I never tapped into him. And so what we do at these things, at these meetings, are long extended worship, because we were created to worship. So that was a switching of my mindset as well. I thought the most important part of church was
listening
the preaching.
To the message. Yeah.
And my concept of that has really changed as of late. And I'm like, no, the most important part of church is worshiping God.
And to add clarity to that is, I'll say praising and glorifying and worshiping God, but not so that people get lost in the idea that worship is only music and only
100%.
Just wanted to add that, like
100%,
like the greatest form of worship is a life submitted unto the Lord. You know, worship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Us being able to glorify God through a podcast, that's
pointing
worship,
people,
you know,
to God.
So,
pointing people to God.
That's beautiful. So, all right, so let's get back into this interview. Right around 1 hour is like, my only mission is to spread the gospel. I mean, you don't say that. You don't say that unless you're on fire for the Lord. You know, like nobody can say Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit allows them to, like, for them to mean it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's truly beautiful, man. And then Zane Lowe goes and he's like, what does life born again as a Christian, essentially like asking, how do you determine what is sin and what is not? And just that the world is asking these questions, bro.
Yeah.
Is now, okay, let me give you the gospel. Let me give
you
what
this
is.
And I sent
you
my mind blown emoji.
Yeah.
dude, I can't believe he's asking this.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You know?
And that being so important for all of us as believers, especially also as creatives, if and when you are brought to a worldwide scale in whichever thing you are doing, right? To understand how to verbalize, you may not be a speaker, may not be whatever, but you are called to understand and truly be able to verbalize, whether it be to one person or a million people or to a camera, whatever, what the gospel is. How do you determine what is sin, what is not? Just being able to answer these things, because this is stuff that'll come up in conversation with people, let alone an interview. And if you're able to present these things in conversation, an interview is just another conversation magnified through a lens into the world, you know? So how vital it is that we know how to answer these questions. How do you determine what sin is? What is not? And how can we, all right, I'll ask you, how can we determine what is sin, Josh?
The Bible.
Bingo.
We can't make our own assumptions of what is right or what is wrong. We need to base it upon something that has an ultimate authority. And a lot of times people are like, I don't believe the Bible. Well, like, then what are you basing your opinions upon?
Yep.
You're basing it upon yourself.
You don't have a heaven. You don't have a hell. You don't have a devil. You don't have sin. You don't have any of that if you don't believe in the Bible. So don't say, oh, I'm going to have, you don't have a heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
where are you getting that? You're borrowing from what I believe in.
Yeah.
For your own convenience.
You're stitching a Frankenstein religion, you know, just a bunch of random parts together, hoping it'll all work. But that's not how this works.
A great story that I heard our pastor here in Florida tell once is, we live in South Florida. We're close to Miami. He's like, you can get on the turnpike and head and say, I'm going to Orlando, which is about a 3 to 4 hour drive north.
Yeah.
And he's like, but if you get on the turnpike and you go south, you can believe with all your mind, I'm going to Orlando.
Yeah.
Just because you say you're going to Orlando, if you're going the wrong direction, you're not going to get there.
But
No, I'm going to Orlando. I'm going to Orlando.
I'm good.
If you're going the wrong direction, you're not going to get to where you think you're going.
That's solid. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So Zane was asking, are you allowing fallibility, aka compromise? And Kanye says, yes, and then I repent. And Zane goes, do you feel shame? And Kanye says, no, Christ has removed shame. I think this is probably the biggest part we need to clarify, because this can be taken the wrong way without a shadow of a doubt. So I'm going to shed some light on, I have my own thoughts on this, shed some light on that.
Well, because I know this generation struggles. I've talked to so many youth, and they constantly feel like they're still not worthy of God and of like His love, and so they still have so much shame in what and how they're living, you know. and Kanye is like, because the part, and again, people, this was right at the 1 hour and 7 minute mark, so people can go back and listen to this whole portion. So we don't want to like quote this per se, but Kanye really is expressing here that I am not perfect, but that there's things in my life that I need to change. And so I am going to blow it. I am going to screw up, but I go to repentance. And then he even talks about grace and mercy, you know? And so he's already learning those concepts that we are fallible creatures and we will fall. But he's like, you know, Christ removes that shame because those are complete lies of the enemy that, like, oh, look, see, you're not even a Christian. Like, you slipped up again. And if you start believing those lies, then it's going to take you to a downward spiral. And so Kanye's already realizing that it isn't easy, this world that we live in, but he's basing his standards on a higher authority and a higher power that he needs to adhere to and that we all need to adhere to for our own good.
Yeah.
Not as a religious dictatorship, but for our love. You know, there was laws that God gave to them back in the time of Moses. It wasn't because he wanted to like make a list of rules because he wanted to be controlling. It was for their own health. It was for their own good. It was for their own well-being because they had no education. They had nothing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but.
For sure. I love the reaction to, let's say, first I'll say this before I jump into that. Compromise. When you compromise, there could be the chance that you willingly compromise, right? And and you say, hey, you know, I'm willing to do this. And quite often I've been in that position. I'll bring myself back to this last January, where God revealed to me that I have been willingly compromising. I've been willingly living in sin, and I've been choosing to. I've been set free from sin, but I choose to be a slave to sin. And I think that's a big difference, you know? I was struggling with smoking bud, you know? And I mean, I smoked weed for 8.5 years, man. Was I still sharing the gospel? I was still sharing the gospel. Was I... bringing people to Christ? Yeah. Was I discipling people? Yeah. Was I baptizing people? Yeah. Was I able to cast out demons? Yeah. I was able to do all these things, right? But my life was not truly submitted to God. And so the ability to bring the fruit that God intended for me to bring was stifled because I created a barrier in my life between me and God that did not allow me to step farther. And when he revealed that to me, I was like, wow, I'm worshiping drugs. Weed is my God. I wake up, smoke. I come home from work, smoke, sometimes smoke at work. Like I was an addict to the core of what it means, you know? And looking at my life now, not having smoked since then, bro, I love being sober. Like I love not being high, man. It's super cool. Cause even when I would get high, I would feel convicted. And this jumps into, do you feel shame? This is what it is. You will feel shame if you remain in the sin. If you are born again and you sin, you will feel shame because you are ashamed of choosing something else over God. Because the word sin means missing the mark. Your target is God. Your target is pleasing the Lord. Your target is living a righteous life. Your target is to be like Christ. So when you miss the mark and you choose something other than God, you do feel shame.
Yep.
But the reaction, and this is what I love, the reaction, the heart posture is, Father, I repent. I turn away from this. I do not wish to pursue this anymore. Can you say, God, I repent, and then go back and do it the next day and go back and do it the next day? Can you physically do it? You can physically do it. Mm-hmm. But were you in a true state of repentance? Was that truly your heart posture? Because the beautiful thing,
or just going through the motion.
Yep. Yeah. And this is very dangerous for those who have been raised in a Christian home for a very long time because they know what they need to be doing, but they choose not to. And I think it's much different for people who just come to revelation of God and are like, wow, I really need to make this. There's a bit of a difference. And I think that's why many like pastors' kids and people who've been raised in the church all their life struggle with things like that because they know, but choose otherwise. And when you have the heart posture to say, God, I repent. I don't want this because I know this. You're not pleased with this. I'm not setting a good example. I can tell a million people about Christ, but if my life does not speak you, if my life does not reflect who you are, what the truth is, I can speak till I'm blue in the face, but it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter because my life will compromise your gospel. How dare I compromise your gospel? I spit on the truth by my life. I mean, it's crazy. That's God revealed that to me. And so when Kanye says, I repent, and he said, do you feel shame? Once you repent, you won't feel shame anymore because you've been freed. God will
forgive you. If you truly repent, he will
forgive you. Amen. So, but can the shame be there? The shame will be there if you don't repent. And then the shame causes you not to go back to God, which I guarantee all of us have experienced, where you do something wrong, you know you're continuing in sin, right? And you say, I'm not even worthy to go back to God. Why should I go back to him? Or people are like, well, I don't know if I want to stop sinning, so I'm just not going to go back to God right now. You know?
Yeah. I've seen that classic with a lot of kids and youth as well, is that they won't repent. And they'll continue to let things pile up, and it'll be this weight on top of them. Mm-hmm. And then we have a camp or a retreat or a really powerful service or whatever. And I see these kids that have already given their lives to the Lord come just completely bawling and so much tears. And, I want to get this right. I was like, it's the lack of repentance that has caused this weight and this pressure upon you. Yeah. And you're realizing now you want to throw this off, and Jesus says he'll take it and he'll carry that burden for you. And so when you sin, it's between you and God, your heart and God, if what you're saying is truly repentance. But if it truly is, then that weight is eliminated. But you have to go through that every time you struggle and every time you go into something like that, because if you don't, this is what happens. You end up getting piled more and more and more pressure. And then some people it leads to suicide.
Yeah. And
if they don't ever
get
that pressure off.
You're right. And what I noticed in my life, and I can't say this is true for everyone, but radically transformed my way of seeing things was this. I was born again, choosing, not a slave to, choosing to sin, right? And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why? Does it feel good? Yeah, it feels good. Do I feel nice? Yeah, it feels nice. But why? Like, what's the root cause? If I've already given my life to Christ, and this is what God revealed to me, you don't fear me.
Ooh. Come on.
You don't fear me.
That's good, man.
That's the issue. So I was like, dang, well, how do I go about that then? So I literally said, God, teach me to fear you. I want to know what that means. I want to know how that feels. I want to live in fear of being apart from you. This isn't, oh, I'm afraid of God. No, you don't fear being apart from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're called to be in union with him. He is our father. We're his children. He doesn't want us to be, oh, God, Dad, I'm so scared. Like, no. Dad, I'm scared to be away from you. I'm scared of what my life will look like without you. You know what I'm saying? And so when we look at it that way, then it's like, wow, God, I don't want to do anything that will cause me to be separated from you. Because let's say I die today and I remained in sin, and then I stand before him at judgment day. And he's like, but you didn't care enough. You didn't care enough to think about eternity. Do you think about eternity? Do you have your eyes set on heaven? Do you have your eyes set on what is to come? And when you don't, when you just have the short scale view, short scale perspective as to, oh, just right now. And this is what culture has done. We're just doing right now. Just focus on the right now. Focus on the right now. No, don't just focus on the right now. You don't need to worry about what will come. We're not talking about worrying about what will come, but keeping in mind, hey, what I do now will have an effect on the future.
Yeah.
It's not just living right now. You know what I'm saying?
I love that it's not fear of like what God is going to do to me. It's a fear of lack of God in my life.
And keeping in mind
here,
yeah, Yeah.
It's just a preview of like, if you don't have God in your life here on this earth,
yeah,
that's just a preview of like eternity being separated with God. And that should make you be really pure.
Bingo. And this jumps perfectly into this next part. This is the little wrap up with this part is, Tanya mentioned, sometimes we have to suffer. And he talked about his problems that he had in the year or two prior to him coming in Christ. He says, sometimes we have to suffer because it is part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And that is so solid, man. Like,
for him to understand that already, man.
It's beautiful. And we're so, it's going back to cultures. We're going back to, you know, what we've been brainwashed into is you want your life to be easy. You want things to be nice. You want to be comfortable. You want to do everything you can to live comfortably. And that is straight from the pit of hell. You are not, we're not here to be comfortable. We're not, you are born into war. That is what it is. You're born into a war here. During war, there's no comfort. You don't think about, oh, I'm just going to go chill. No, but this war
is flying.
Just literally the whole time, you know? Yeah. And you don't know that you're in their complete attack and you wonder, man, why am I anxious? Why am I depressed? Why am I this? Why am I struggling with this? Why do I keep doing this? Well, our battle is not against flesh and blood. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, unless we know scripture, unless we are led by the Spirit of God, unless God is showing and leading and bringing us into the truth, or unless we are even seeking the truth, we don't even know why we suffer. Because you're going to suffer either way. You can pursue pleasure. You can pursue your goals and dreams and doing whatever you want. But if it is outside of God's will, if it is outside of what he has created you to do as a warrior for the kingdom of heaven, if that is what your life is intended for, is that's what you choose to do. Once you take on this role of, hey, I want to be a disciple of Christ, I choose to fight for truth, the suffering has a purpose.
Yeah.
And through that suffering, you're able to see what is going to happen. And I forget exactly where this is. Paul was writing about through, and I'm totally like just generalizing this verse, but he was talking about how when you experience struggle, it causes you to build your faith, and then it causes you and it causes brings hope. I gotta get the scripture.
Yeah, it's James.
Is it in James?
Struggle causes perseverance.
Yeah, it's not in James, but yes, I'm gonna look this up. But yeah, so touch on what that spoke to you when you heard about suffering and that being a part of a bigger plan.
Yeah, I mean, so my wife is a cancer survivor, and she says that she has felt most closest to God during her times of when the world would perceive that she is suffering the most. You know, and so. So many times people question, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And like, why did that family have to lose their baby? Why did the baby have to die? Like, why is there suffering on this earth? And I always go back to saying, like, it's the lack of God. That person raped that person, or that person killed that person because lack of God. It's not because God caused it to happen. Why did God allow it to happen? No, it was the lack of God that caused that to happen. You know,
it's sin.
But yet God, in his amazing way to like bring things around, he can use that and he can checkmate, and like, and that's what Kanye even said in the video. He's like, this God has a sense of humor. God's funny. He's like, because God's gonna take a guy like me to like flip the table.
Yeah, straight up.
You know, and he's like, you know, everything that he's been through, you would think like, oh no, man, Kanye's a lost cause. I mean,
for sure. Which is so broken, bro.
Like, and even the whole thing where like the mental health that put him in the hospital and everything like that. He's like, all of those things took him to that hard path of suffering. But those things are now what God is like, okay, I can use, like he took the disciples, like Jesus took the disciples. He takes the least of those to make them, you know, powerful influences. Mm-hmm. And So people would say, well, Josh, but Kanye already was a powerful influence. Yeah, but he took him down first, you know, to raise him back up. And in the
Essentially, I think Satan took him down.
Okay.
I don't know if God took him down. I think Satan took him down and God used that for his glory. So when someone gets killed, someone gets raped, someone, whatever tragic thing takes place, God doesn't cause these things necessarily to happen, but he's able to take the bad and now make it good for his glory. And
yes, good clarification.
So, so cool.
God did not cause Kanye to end up in the hospital because
that
of mental health.
By his own flesh.
Right, exactly. The sinful nature of this earth that we live on. Mm-hmm. But God's like, oh, that's all right. I can still redeem that. Kanye, do you want me to redeem that? Mm-hmm. Kanye says yes. He says it in the hospital. God's like, all right, I can. Don't think bad, Kanye. The world's going to think, and he says, you know, people still question his mindset on future things
For sure.
Based upon, oh, well, you know, he's on medication and he ended up in the hospital. Yeah. And God whispers in Kanye's ear and says, it's all right, Kanye, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're going to still turn this thing around.
Amen. Yo, so I got the verse pulled up and it's actually Romans 5. Romans 5. I'll read 1-5 just because it's so solid. If you guys haven't read any of the Bible, get to it, man, because this thing, just 5 verses is so solid right here. Therefore, Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then comes that peace if and when you repent, if and when you come back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know, and this is the part that I butchered, and here it goes, that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Just, that's good.
Clarified everything he said. You know, so it's just...
Put that verse in the show notes. Make
I,
sure
will.
People read it.
I will. I will. Awesome, man. Yo, this has been awesome. Thank
great
you
way to
for,
wrap.
For being, I suppose, diligent and hitting me up and getting this going. Because it's almost like God's been prepping me for our talk. Because I've literally just been listening to Kanye's videos, listening to what he's been saying, just kind of meditating on what's taking place, enjoying the album, just worshiping God and through that. And it all kind of coming to this point where we're able to discuss some of these things. And I think it's important. And this is the first time I've ever like talked about someone on this podcast. So I don't really ever see that as something that is, I haven't seen that as something as necessary yet.
Right.
So this is cool. This is cool to be able to do that and not to shame anyone or not to knock anyone, but simply to bring some clarity as well as encourage those of you who listen to make sure that anything you hear, anything you see, whatever it is, if they're talking about the Lord, if they are bringing glory to God, is it matching up with scripture? Does it make sense? Is it biblical? If it is, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God, man. And I mentioned this to you, and I'll wrap up with this, is I genuinely believe Kanye is playing a huge role in the second coming of Christ. I said that to you last night. I said,
yep.
This thing where millions, if not billions of people will not only say that Jesus is king, but listen to a project that glorifies God as well as speaks about who Christ is. And I don't know if it's Revelations or somewhere else in the New Testament, it talks about how the whole world will come to know about Christ before he comes back. So they will hit it.
United States, Spotify, top 50, number one song, Follow God.
I mean, come on. God's flexing so hard right now.
God's up in heaven and is like, boom!
Y'all didn't see this coming. That's beautiful, bro. You know, it's beautiful. You know? So I genuinely believe people like Kanye are playing this massive role, which the world would never imagine. Satan would have never imagined that Christ is being glorified to this scale. And I say that to remind you guys, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you preparing for the Lord's return? Is your lampstand filled with oil? Are you waiting? Are you waiting earnestly for our Savior's return? Because he's coming back to find righteousness on the earth. And don't find yourself in a place where you're in shame because you're choosing to sin. Repent, turn away, and pursue righteousness with all of your efforts.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You mind if I quickly pray for you and listeners and wrap up, and I gotta head to work.
Same.
Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity just to talk, Lord, and just bring clarity to some things that were spoken about. We lift up our brother Kanye, Lord. We just ask you continue to strengthen not only him but his family, and protect them against the fiery darts of the enemy, as they are without a shadow of a doubt a huge target right now. Anything that takes place in the future, Lord, we know that you have your hand over it. We believe that you're going to continue to raise up more and more workers to harvest, to take on the harvest that is so plentiful here, Father. We want to work. We want to do things that will glorify your name. We want to bring people to Christ, Lord, because we genuinely believe that we're on the brink of you returning, and we want to make sure that we are not only right standing with you, but reacting and acting on the call that you've placed on our hearts and our entire lives, really, to bring people to Christ, to share the gospel, to make disciples, Lord. And ultimately, that is our goal here, to make disciples and to just encourage each other to continue to pursue you. God, I just thank you for Josh and his wife, and I ask you continue to bless his home and everything that he is pursuing in the business and ministry. I also lift up all the listeners. God, we just thank you for everyone who has been listening and just being so faithful and supporting this podcast and just being able to share with other friends and family what they've been encouraged by. So I just thank you for that. And I ask you continue to keep us. I ask for divine appointments today for anyone who is going out to anywhere, really, that you will create opportunities for them to glorify you, and they be willing to step into those opportunities. And I say all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Bro.
God bless you, bro. You know, let me just let the homies know. Guys, if you have any questions as to what else Josh is doing, you can find him on Sound Seekers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You got a website, bro?
Nope.
Cool. So just go on IG, literally Sound IG. Seekers.
DM.
Hit him up. He's all up on there. If you'd like to share any ideas with him, any thoughts that maybe we didn't touch on, feel free to hit either one of us up.
Yes, if you, we would love to hear it.
Yes. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a 5-star rating, thumbs up, however which form you're able to review this podcast. If you want to comment and share what you love most about this podcast, I would love to hear it. If there's anything you believe we should improve on or something we said wrong, please send me an email. Don't leave that in the review. Send me an email so that I can improve and make sure that you are getting exactly what you guys need. Because my hope is to be able to give you guys what you need and only speak the truth. So if I am ever in error, please send me an email, because I only want to learn and grow and remain true to what God is.
Where can people email you at?
It will be in the link in the bio of the podcast, but it is IamIsaacWheedon@gmail.com. That is also my Instagram, IamIsaacWheedon. And you can find a bunch more things outside of the podcast, such as music and videos and much, much more. So with all that said, thank you, Mr. Josh.
All right, people.
Appreciate you, bro.
Much love.
Enjoy Jesus, everyone. Peace. All right. Peace.